Hi, and welcome to the In the Cortex podcast. We are your hosts. I'm Paloma Garcia.
And I am Dani Perricone.
And we're the founders of In the Cortex, an online community with programs that show people the tools that they need to change their lives through brain reorganization. No medication, just movement.
When you get your brain out of survival mode and regulate your nervous system, you start to live in the fun, logical part of the brain, the cortex. Subscribe today and learn how to live your best in the cortex life. And now, on to today's episode. Hello, and welcome to another episode of our podcast. We are talking this week all about resistance to doing the work and also what we envision when we're going about it. So there's two parts to this, and we're going to break it down so we can like really help you along this week of just understanding, hey, sometimes this stuff can just get hard and life can get in the way. And there's times where we're like fully on that ITC train and we're fully committed. And then there's times where we completely fall off and we can't just get ourselves to like open our journal or even do a creeping lap. And we just want you to let you know, like, it's totally cool. We get you. And this is what this episode's all about. So tune in. You can always do your brain work while you're listening. And we're going to dive into it. So let's talk about resistance. Like, what does it even mean to be resistant to something?
I mean, it just means that you're not really ready, right? Ultimately. And it means that there's part of you that just, no matter what you try, and we've all been there where you're like, I tried to do my schedule the day before. I tried to, you know, wake up early and do this and that and blah, blah, blah. And you're just not going to do it. There's part of your brain that's like, absolutely not. It's so frustrating. I mean, I know a lot of the people listening have been there, right? Where you're just like, I just want to eat healthy. I just want to do my brain work in the morning. I just want to do this thing. But there's just a part of your own self. It's just like, nope, that's not going to happen. And it can be really confusing because you're like, where is that even coming from? Like, I want to do this change. I want to feel better. I want to continue on this train, but there's just something that's stopping me, right? And so ultimately, the way that you and I interpret it always is that you're just not ready. There's part of your nervous system that's not there yet, right? And I think that, you know, especially when we're doing the brain work and all of our program, really, a lot of it is just changing such a huge part of who you've been for so long, right? You're changing your regulation. You're changing kind of your standard to where you want to be. You're changing your baseline of what life is like. And so a lot of us get stuck in this moment of like, why can't I move forward, right? It's kind of like the plateau, but this is different because the plateau is like, I'm doing it. I just don't feel any changes. This is like, I genuinely don't want to do it. And it's just your nervous system really responding naturally to like, there's been so many changes. I don't want to change that much that fast, right? It's because it can be too much.
Mm-hmm. 100%. Yeah, we were just talking about this before we got on. It was like, if you go to a buffet and you try to eat all the food in one go, like you literally can't. You don't have a body that can hold it all at once. And it's the same thing for life. You just can't do all the changing all at once. It has to be this gradual process of slowly making changes and tweakings, listening to your body and saying, am I ready for this right now? And so many times you and I sit down to go do a project that we have and we're both just like, we're not there right now. And otherwise, and then we'd be like beating our heads against the wall and like trying to force ourselves through it. But now we've learned so much that we're not there. And it would be better if we just took a step back, worked on ourselves, maybe go inward, depends on where we are with a lot of things, and then approach it when we're in like a more vibrant and excited space. So the resistance is your key to understanding like, hey, I need to just not beat myself up for not doing enough, but really ask myself why. Like, why do I feel resistant? Because it's going to unlock for you a block. It's going to help you see what part you're resistant to. And like, my favorite part of knowing when you're in a resistant space is when someone presents an idea to you and you're like, immediately no. Like, you're just like, nope, not even, nope, don't even want to address it. And so you just have such a strong, like, I'm not ready yet to talk about this. And it can be frustrating when you're in relationships and like one partner has a lot of awareness and the other one doesn't. And you give ideas and they're like, nope, 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 it's not that. It's definitely not that. And so that's where you have to work on, if you're in a relationship, holding space for that person to like figure it out when they're ready and knowing that. So there's that big piece of whoever you're with, it could be your kids, it could be your partner. And it's just knowing, okay, I need to work on holding space and allowing them to figure this out when they're ready. Because how many times have we talked about something to somebody over and over? And then maybe a year later, they're like, oh, I get it now. And you're like,
yes,
I've been saying this for a year. And okay,
it's
cool.
So true.
It
and
happens
it's easy
all
to
time.
Take that personally too. You know, you're like, what?
How
I
did you not
said
get
this
it?
to you 7,000 times. Like, why are you just doing it now? Right. And it's happened to you and me so many times
Oh
with
my
ITC
gosh.
when people are like, oh, somebody told me I did your program, and so now I'm going to check it out. You're like, oh, I've been telling you for years. But
Yes.
okay, great. Jump on in. You
But
know,
they
and it's
weren't
just like,
ready.
they just weren't ready. And so I think you and I have gotten to a point where we don't take that personally anymore, but it's hard to do that. Right. Cause it's like, you know, that the brain is only going to listen to what it's able to, right? Like there's just stuff that your brain isn't even ready to process it, to even open itself up to that idea, right? And so that's happened to you and me a lot, but I think a lot of people listening can think of many examples that they've had where they've been in that position where they're trying to tell somebody about something, whether it's about self-development and or not, right? Whether it's, you know, a new restaurant, whatever, you know, a new movie or
program.
something. Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so funny how we just are just not ready sometimes, right? And then also, I think looking at the part of ourselves that's not ready is a big deal too, is a big component as well, because that's kind of what I was saying at the beginning, is that there is a piece of you that subconsciously is avoiding this for a reason. And so you might not always know the reason. Sometimes you're just like, okay, part of me just really doesn't want to do this right now. And so what you do is you take a break. That's the whole point of our program, is that it's lifetime access. So if you don't do it for a couple of weeks, that's fine. You won't feel the changes for those weeks, but that's okay, because you're letting your nervous system kind of fall into a new level of regulation, right? Because you never know. It might be overwhelmed. It might be tired. You might be feeling overly sensitive. You might be going through a big transition in your life and your nervous system is like, I can't also do this at the same time, right? And so that's where you have to work with yourself and hold space for that part of yourself that's not ready. Because one day they are going to be ready, and it's going to be like, boom, right? It's happened to you and me so many times,
all the
where
time.
we're like, and to our members, where they're like, why didn't I even think of this before? We're like, that's because that was your brain, right? We just got an email yesterday from somebody who was like, hey, I signed up a million years ago and now I'm ready to start. Just wanted to let you guys know. We're like, great. You know, it's really, really important to not beat ourselves up with that kind of stuff, and just understand that this is, you know, these are changes that are here for life. It's not just a program. It's not just a thing like, oh, I did this thing for 6 months and now I'm done, right?
Yeah.
It truly is a lifestyle. And so understanding what the ins and outs are always going to be of that, right? And we just, like, you know, with anything, we go through ups and downs, we go through ins and outs, right? And that's really important to always, always be very mindful of that with ourselves.
Totally. And it's like the simple law of physics is the harder you push on something, the harder it pushes back. And so resistance, if you don't honor it and see it right away, you can keep pushing, pushing, pushing. And then what happens a lot of times, you go into burnout, or then you go into fallouts of relationships, or you, like, so many things come out of that because the energy has to go somewhere. So if you don't learn to see that, like, maybe I'm pushing, and this happened to me, like, on my own personal journey with my kids and doing brain work, it was so important for me to not push on them, but to get me. And then it's been in, like, every relationship I encounter, like ones that I've had for 30 years, where I'm like, I just wish you would do your brain work, because I just know all of the things that you're struggling with daily would dissipate and your life would get easier. And then having to be able to go into that space of, like, okay, the harder I keep pushing on it, the more that person's going to keep pushing back and saying, no, I don't want to do it. And then once you remove all the resistance and truly becoming unattached, that's like the key. That's like when you read the book Letting Go, is when you just can unattach, detach yourself from the outcome, right? Where you're like, you're on your own journey. And I've experienced this so many times now, where instead of pushing somebody harder into something, I work on detaching and just going, okay, this is their journey. My journey is mine. Theirs is theirs. And even if I'm a parent and I'm like, I'm in charge of your journey, I'm ultimately not. I'm here to guide. And so when you can shift into that space of, I am here to support you when you're ready for me, But I'm going to go work on myself. That's all I can do right now. I can go focus on me. And then if I hit my point of resistance and I take a step back, I look at it, right? And eventually you'll get to a point where the resistance completely lifts on one area. And then you'll have resistance in different
Exactly. On
areas.
one area. That's important to mention
Yes.
because it's never going to fully lift because once
No,
again,
you're human.
we're humans. Like it's just, oh, there's always going to be something, right?
100%.
And I think, going back to the reason that our program is designed the way it is, I meant to mention this earlier. We worked at places where, and we used to work this way when it was just you and me in San Diego, where it was like we would force these kids
Physically.
to do the movements. And I know
Oh,
we've talked about this on the podcast
good.
before, and I know we bring this up a lot. It's
It
just
breaks
like
my
every time I
heart.
think about it, I'm like, oh my
Yeah.
gosh, I can't believe
How do
we
we
do
do that?
that.
I
But
know.
we would tell the parents, like, they have to do it. It's a
Yep, that was the thing.
non-negotiable every single day. If they don't do it, they don't get this or that. Like, it really started to become even like just of course,
Negative.
created way more re resistance for these kids. Yeah, exactly. And it became very negative. So, of course, they still were going to see the differences in certain sense, in a certain sense. But you know that the kid who's being forced to do this negatively and you know that the changes that they're going to see are not exactly gonna, they're not going to stick and they're not going to be like real, right?
No, 100%.
Because you're forcing and they have a negative connection with this thing that they're doing, even though it's for their own good. And so that's where I think what you said earlier is so important is that parents, I think, are the ones that struggle with this the most because
Yeah.
who is your biggest responsibility in the world? Your child, right? And so you want to be like, but do this. It's going to be so good for you. I know it. I did it myself. It's so good for me. And, it's just if they're not ready for it, they're just not ready for it. And I know it's so frustrating and so hard to be like, but I bought this program, but I just started, but I wanted to do this for the next, for the summer, whatever. This was my plan. And if it doesn't work out, you have to find what will work, right? So that's where we can get more into the strategies a little bit later. But I think also, like you said, removing the pressure of like, this child represents something about me, right? They are their own person. And I understand that that's really hard for a lot of parents to get to. But the moment you do get to that point of being like, oh, of course, I love them and I protect them and they're my family and they're everything, but they don't represent anything about me, like detaching that, right, from yourself.
Children will model your behavior, right? So as and whenever and we say this all the time, if you're in a good space, you're regulated, you're aligned as a parent, your children will more likely be regulated and aligned. If you're dysregulated and out of alignment, then they'll be more dysregulated and out of alignment. But it doesn't work the other way around, right? So like if a parent's behavior is one thing, they're not attaching it to, is that what you're saying? Like if like a representation of the child. But I do think that it exists, right? So like there's so much of parenting, and I've experienced this because my children will say things that I'm like, where did that come from? And then I will finally look in a mirror and I'm like, it came from me. Holy cow, I didn't even know I was doing that. I didn't have. So you gain a lot of self-awareness because your kids will reflect back to you what you're doing. And so I do think there is a massive element of parenting that needs to have the parent looking at their behaviors because our kids are modeling them. And so there's so many times I meet kids and it's a two-part thing. That kid could have a really disorganized brain and then they could be highlighting all the negative behaviors that their parents doing, right? And then they could be taking, something that their parent says and bringing it to a different event and like then they express that and you're like, "Where did you learn that?" And so oftentimes it does come down to the parent and it's such a subconscious thing, right? So that's where we have to model what we want our kids to do. Because how many times do I tell my kids to go clean up their room? And how many times do they always listen to me? It's a smaller percentage. But when I model a clean room, when I model how to clean up after myself, that's what they're seeing. They're not doing as you're telling them to do. You're doing as you're doing, right? And so there is that piece of it. But not always is it the case, right? There are kids that do have a lot of dysregulation. And what's happening is it's triggering in the parents, like, I don't know what to do with this. I don't know how to help you. And that often escalates the child into more of that. But back to the resistance piece, like when We would, and I still cringe when I think about what we would do in the past of how we were trained to like get kids to do certain movements and how they would scream and cry it out. And I'm like, I'm so grateful that I have learned a different approach of being more at peace and ease. So many times I can feel this in my own system where I'm like, today I need to focus on me. Because if I start asking my kids and I enroll them in my brain work, I already know my bandwidth can't handle it. And I'm like, if I start, it's going to turn into like a pushback, and then it's going to turn into more resistance of them wanting to do it. When I really work on me being excited and I talk about my why, I talk about why I love doing my brain work. I don't actually love the act of creeping. Well, I do now, but I didn't in the beginning. But when I actually like think about creeping gives me the ability to pause. Creeping gives me the ability to not have those reactions. Creeping gives me the ability to stay present and mindful and like really enjoy life for what it is. If I hold that in my mind while I'm doing my creeping, I have less resistance because I'm thinking about why I'm doing this, why it's helping me. And then I talk incessantly with my kids about why they're doing it. And we never point people out in like a shameful way of like, hey, that person that just kind of lost their cool at the grocery store. We talk about like why that's happening, not like that person's such a horrible person. We talk about why it's happening. So then they start to see other humans of like, oh, they're having a massive human emotion, like take them over. And the reason we do our brain work is so those emotions don't overtake us. So I love to talk about the why with my kids. We talk about it all the time. And then when my kids, like when Axel had his massive baseball growth year, he was like, it's because I did my brain work, mom, right? It's because I did my brain work. And then like swim, Siggy's learning how to swim. And we're like, the more brain work you do, the more you can overcome it. Because really, it's all in your mind. It's amazing what your mind can do. So if you can start talking to yourself in a really positive way of why you're doing this and why it's connecting to make your life easier, it just gets easier. It reduces a lot of the resistance. So we
And
encourage
that's
you.
why we always, that's why we always encourage our members to do a gratitude journal and just like be grateful for all the changes that they're feeling, and also talk about their changes with people or write them in their journal, right? Like any small thing, even if you're just like, oh, I normally would have been so annoyed that my husband said this, and I'm not today. Write it down. Remember it, because it's all about the small things. Some people think that it's going to be like this huge, you know, we have two types of people. One of them is a person who's like afraid of any kind of change. They're like, oh no, I don't want my life to change. I don't want to do this. This is scary. I'm not ready for it. And then we have the other kind who is like, give it to me. I'm ready for everything to change. I'm ready for it, right? And so what happens is, of course, typically, because that's, you know, the lessons that we have to learn in life, for the person who's not ready for change, they're going to see the most insane, huge, life-changing, you know, behaviors with their brain work, right? Like they're going to, everything's going to change for them. And for the people who are like, give it to me, I'm so ready for the change, the changes are going to be so subtle. Right? Not always, but a lot of the time. And so that's where the lesson is what are you focusing on? What are you envisioning for yourself? Right? Like if you envision this change of this, everything's going to be different. That's easy to feed into like magical thinking and being like, well, when I do my brain work, everything will be better and everything will be perfect. And so when everything isn't perfect after 4 weeks, you're like, what's going on? But then once you look back, you're like, wait, I didn't snap at my kids. I was able to have a conversation with this person. I didn't have road rage yesterday. I'm sleeping so much better. Like all the little things. And you're like, wait, that is the change, right? And so that's also where it's important to look at like, what do you envision for your life, right? And that's why we want to talk about that with the resistance, because it goes hand in hand. Part of
Totally.
what you're resisting has to do with what you're envisioning for, not just this program, but for you as a person. And looking really at the nitty-gritty, right? Because a lot of the times that's where we're going to truly see the differences. It's just in the way, it's in the way you wake up. It's in your mood in the morning and throughout the day. It's in the funny thing that somebody said and you laughed instead of being annoyed about it, right? Like it's just small things often. It's not always going to be this huge turnaround, like with Axel's baseball thing, or like a huge, you know, with you when you stopped having anxiety attacks, right? Like it's not always going to be that huge thing.
Right. So it doesn't always have to be these massive things, but one of our members just said something that was so like eye-opening because she was talking to her therapist and she was like, "Yeah, Danny keeps saying there's going to be this shift and this big change, but it's really the absence of something." So like, and that was
Oh,
me,
yes.
right? It was like I all of a sudden stopped having anxiety. It just went away. And I was like, "How is this possible?" Right? And then the reactions just went away and they turned into responses and they turned into taking a pause. So it's like you lose a lot of things that are creating a lot of friction in your life. And it's so cool because, like you just said, our brains are primed and wired to find what's wrong, right? And
Always.
oftentimes when you look at your resistance, what are you resisting, right? Is it getting out of comfort zone, right? And you're still like, but and then there's that self-sabotage that'll kick in. And it's like, even if I do that, I might still fail, right? Because you're
Right.
connected to the negative. It's a self-preservation mode. And so when you start to really look at what am I actually resisting and why, it'll help you start to figure out, okay, there could be this block here. And then when you do your brain work and you do your crawling, it'll help you be able to have the ability to follow through on things. So there's so much happening with your subconscious, with your conscious mind, with your actual physical brain work. There's so much interwoven into it. So we always tell you, really take the time, like Paloma said, write down all the positive things, talk about your why. Why are you doing this? And really ask other people, like, have you seen a difference in me? Like, do you see anything shifting in me? Because when you get that outside feedback coming to you, you're like, oh yeah, I am showing up a lot calmer. I am acting this way
Exactly.
differently. And
And that's
it'll
why we have the
motivate
second
you.
person assessment in our
Yeah.
programs, because we love it when, because we don't see a lot of the things in ourselves that other people see. And so that's where it's really cool to start to get that feedback from other people. And so in terms of coming up with like some strategies for when you do feel the resistance and you're like, okay, I want to get around this. How do I do it? There's definitely a few things that you can do. First thing, like Danny was saying, is just always remind yourself why you're doing this, right? Just why? And you know, it's write it down somewhere, put it somewhere you can see it in the morning and on your mirror, you know, when you're brushing your teeth, you can be like, okay, this is why I'm doing this program, right? And when we get more into like the specifics or like more concrete things, there's something called temptation bundling, which I love. And we actually like to call it fundal bundling because temptation is a little, you know, out there. Thank you, Michael Scott. You know, we want to make it so you have something that you really love to do that's like really motivating to you. You're bundling it together with this, with the brain work. So you find a show that you really, 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 really love, and you're only watching it right after you do your brain work or during. I mean, we don't always want to have a screen in front of us, but if that's the only way you're going to do it, then do it. It's better than nothing, right? Or you have this amazing podcast that you love, you only do it. You only listen to it when you're doing your brain work, right? Same, it can be like a board game, or for kids, it can be like the funnest thing ever. They love doing pillow fights, and so they only get to do them when they're doing their brain work, right? Or a specific like blanket rides that kids love, right? Whatever the favorite thing is, like talking to a specific friend that lives far away, you only do it when you're doing your brain work. That kind of stuff is going to make it easier for you to start to actually love the brain, or do want start to love the brain work, right? Like Jenny said, it's not always easy to love creeping, but you know, you'll start to love it because you're associating it, your brain is associating it with something that it really already loves, right?
100%. And this is like, so the same thing too is so many times, like people always will immediately have all these like excuses for us as to why like they don't want to dive into this work. And we've made it like we've taken like that resistance obstacle and like lowered it so low. Like our program is so affordable. And then once they're like realize like the money excuse doesn't work on our program anymore, then they go for like, I just don't have time. And we're like, well, what do you spend your time on? And I'm like, because I see, maybe I follow you on social media. You spend a lot of time doing a lot of things. Like, so is it just not a priority for you yet? Right. So it's
Which is
about,
fine.
right? Because time is all an illusion. We all have time if we want to make the time for it. That is literally undeniable in every aspect of life because we all take the time to sit down and relax every once in a while, unless you literally work five jobs and you really don't have time. And I mean, I'm working two jobs. I have two small kids. You know, I just keep taking on more things, but I can still make time for my brain work because it's such an important priority for me. So this isn't to make you feel bad, but it's just to kind of call you out if you're like, I just don't have time. It's like, okay, get us on the phone and let's use a free 15-minute call right now and tell us what your schedule looks like and tell us how you don't have time, and then we'll be able to find a 20-minute window in there. And it doesn't have to be
Oh,
20
totally.
consecutive minutes. It could be
Exactly.
five, 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 right? It could be broken up throughout your day. So it's completely something that is all an illusion. So you can make it work with, you know, a great time blocking technique. And this is what I've been having to work on more with just work stuff. From 11 to 12, I'm focused on emails. From this to this, I'm focused on that. So it does require, like, this is such a catch-22 with a disorganized brain, is you do need to have some ability to plan in order to get it in.
Yes.
And so if you're finding yourself struggling to get it in and find the time for it, drop it into the WhatsApp group. Let us know what your challenge is. Book a free 15-minute call. We offer those to our members just to get a jump start sometimes. We also offer one-on-one coaching, and so many members have gone so much further in their program because they're booking the one-on-one calls and then they're getting specified help that's just in their lives, and then they have more accountability with myself or Paloma, and the people who book the calls take themselves to like the next level. So
Yes.
we highly recommend investing in it because you're saving yourself so much time, money, and energy by getting ahead of it in that sense. So
Definitely.
those are two really important things. There's also a lot of resistance that comes up with kids. And
Yes.
when I'm working, and when Paloma works with kids, but when we both work with kids that are not our own, it's so much easier.
Of course.
Obviously not emotional at all. But when I
Yeah.
work with my own kids, I would recognize that there would be emotions like, just do it. Come on. What's the big deal? And I'm not going to lie, I had a lot of those moments too, because I'm a human. But the more I worked on regulating me, and the more I just said, you know what? I have to take care of me first, put the oxygen mask on me, my resistance with my kids dropped drastically. Now, me and the kids get up in the morning, we come in, we do our brain work, boom, boom, boom. There's no fighting, there's no whining. I do allow my kids to have some ownership in it. And maybe my daughter goes, you know what, mom, today I just want to do five creeps, five crawls, and five exploding or 10 exploding rocks. I'm like, okay, cool. I'll take that. And I'm not gonna push her on certain things because her behavior is super cortex. If we're having a lot of like, I walk into the room, I don't know why I just walked in here, I'm fighting with my brother over a lot of things, and I'm like, we need to amp it up because
Exactly.
I can see that the behavior is not matching and we need to give you more support.
And that's where you can ask kids why, like especially when they're at an age where they can communicate that, like, why don't you want to do it? Like, genuinely tell me what's the reason, right? And a lot of the time they'll just say, because it's dumb. I don't like it because it's not for, I don't need it anymore or whatever. Like, okay, sure. And that's where you really get really clear on the examples, right? And so the next time you hear the whining, the next time you hear the fighting, the next time they're resisting cleaning up the room, you're like, you sure about that with the brain work? And obviously you're not doing it in like a mean way, like, ha ha ha, I caught you, but just showing them the examples. And that's why we always say to parents, you have to be super consistent about letting them know when you're seeing the positive changes. Just like you want somebody else to tell you as an adult, you have to tell them, oh my gosh, you just cleaned up your room and I didn't have to ask you. That is amazing. That is your cortex. That's your brain work coming in. So they start to connect the dots. And they're not always going to care about that because they're kids. It's like, hi, I'm 7. I don't care about that. You think I think about my long-term success? I'm just thinking right now about playing Minecraft. You're like, wait for me, lady. So that's also where you have to sometimes be like, okay, this is not, choose your battles, right? Like, so this is not the moment. And your kids so well, when they're going to be receptive to that and when they're not. So if they do need to take a little break, a week, 2 weeks, they're going to feel the dysregulation too.
Oh my
So they're going
gosh.
to be ready to come back on onto the brain work train. And that's also, you and I were talking about this yesterday, is that it's funny with siblings. It's like sometimes one is on and one is off, and it's like they take turns. It's so funny. Like, I would love to like look into this a little bit more, because I'm sure a lot of people have studied it, but it's such a common like human thing that we do.
It's like, oh, she's putting a lot of pressure on mom, so I'm not gonna do it. And then you're like, wait, now actually I'm ready to put on some pressure. It's like it's safe now for me to go ahead and release a little bit. It's almost like they know. It's like we're a unit, right? There's like that symbiotic thing happening in the home where, like, you know, if one person's taking a lot of the resources, then we have
You
to
have.
split within the tribe of like not everyone can fall apart because then our tribe would fall apart, right? So if
I
there's
like
like that
that.
role, like if there's like that space where it's like, oh, it's my turn to kind of let go a little bit. And it, actually, now that we say this and we're kind of talking about it, I see it with siblings. I see it with even partners, like, because now
Partners.
me and like Sam.
You and I too. Sometimes you'll be losing it and I'm like
Yeah, and
totally
you're
chill or the
jealous.
other.
Like, that's just the thing about being a human, right? And it's like, and that's why partnerships are so great, because then you have that with each other. And it's like, we all
Exactly.
can support. It's like we're all trying to work as a team. And we say that all the time. Me and my kids talk about being a team all the time because we are a team. One person will be lower energy, and then we have to step up. And I just noticed, like, as I've been shifting more and more, I can see now in my fiance where I was like, oh, he was like my executive functioner. He was doing this and this. And now that I'm in a really good place, I'm like, oh, actually, I think it's my turn to be the person doing all these things. And he's kind of going through some stuff. So it's like that happens in every relationship. And so noticing it is really, really important. And I was going to add something about the kid piece is making sure I forgot what my train of thought was on that because we were talking
You're
about,
lazy eight.
I'm drawing Lizzie 8.
Well, I wanted to say that I
Yeah.
think it's also so much easier when you're more regulated to see the other person's dysregulation. And so that's when you're like, okay, I am actually going to pull back. I also think when I was little, back to when I was little, and when my brother would be like having a meltdown or having a hard time or whatever, I'd be like, well, I'm the good child, you know? So you also kind of get
Yes.
into that where you're like, look at me, mother. Did you need
Yes.
some help? Would you
Yes.
like me to put this all away? I'll do it, mother. Don't worry. And so you step
Yes.
into this, like, look at
I
me.
see
I'm
that with
such a good
Vicky.
child, right?
Yeah.
And so that's also kind of that piece
Yeah.
too.
Yeah. I see that. Siggy does that all the time right now, where she's like, oh, Axel, you just have to take a deep breath. And I was like, where was your deep breath all these years, girl? Like, where are you? You know, but I just, the lazy eight worked, y'all. I just drew it and I remember what I was going to say because we're talking about young kids right now. But you know what I just really wanted to talk about? Because it wouldn't be an episode on our podcast if we didn't talk about society's expectations. And so this applies to also teenagers because I am also with two teenagers and I'm watching. This is kind of like a PSA that I think we need to talk about. And I'm seeing it right now because I'm seeing a couple of high schoolers that are just graduating. And they're about to turn 18, or they might have already turned 18. And the world's like, so what are you doing with your life? And this
Oh
is
my
my
gosh, yeah.
PSA. Your brain's not even fully developed till you're 26. How challenging is it to figure out your whole entire life story by the time you're 18 and like knowing what you're going to go study in college, what you're going to go do? We were talking about that the other day too, where it was like, I had no clue what I wanted to do because I didn't even know this exists. We didn't even know this existed when we were on our journey to college. And I was like, I don't know. I like this. So maybe I'll go explore that. What if we could create a world where kids could go take more time rather than just going straight into college and then having to get a career and having to figure their life out? What if we created more space for kids to, like, number one, obviously do their brain work so they're like really tuned into
Naturally.
themselves, and then did a lot of subconscious work, obviously, but then started really going into like, what do I want to do with my life? If you're finding yourself hitting a lot of resistant areas, we dive into that in level two. We're going to take you into the subconscious. We're going to help you unblock those things. But for right now, we just need you to double down on your brain work. Keep going with it. Trust us. It will get better. It will get easier. Use the WhatsApp group, Facebook group, not as poppin', but you know, you can always drop
Still
stuff
there,
in there.
yeah.
Yeah, it's still there. Hit us up on our emails, book coaching calls, because it will help you get through this. And we promise you, in just a few more weeks, once you're on to level two, you're going to see even more things. And now all of our members right now in the WhatsApp group are like, I love the reconnects. Oh my gosh, the reconnects are changing everything. And they're popping off and they're talking about how much they are shifting things. And people who didn't think that muscle checking was that big of a deal has like changed their lives and like all this cool stuff. So we will continue to hold space for you and just promise it gets easier.
It does get easier. So, with that said, please follow us on wherever you get your podcast. Make sure to subscribe and rate the podcast. It really helps us reach new listeners. Also, share an episode with a friend. Share whichever your favorite one is. Get them on the brain work train, you know?
Yeah.
Also, you can follow us on TikTok at in_the_cortex or Instagram in_the_cortex_US. And for Spanish speakers, in_the_cortex_ESP. I'm actually gonna post a video today, believe it or not. So
Ooh,
it's
muy
gonna start popping more.
bien.
And remember, you can always email us at hello@inthecortex.com. It's just Danny and me. We respond to every email personally. And we are coming up with a fun summer challenge very soon. We will have details about that within the next couple of weeks, maybe week. And so if you have questions about reconnects, we're gonna start posting a little bit more about this on our Instagram stories. And if anything about that piece of the program, whether you're a member or not, is still kind of foreign to you, let us know. Send us all of your questions. You can DM them to us. You can email them to us, whatever it is. You can book a 15-minute call and ask us there. But we really want to open up this part of our program to more people. And anyway, it's going to be super exciting. And we will give you more details later on. And remember, if you're ready to sign up, you can use promo code BRAINIAC to get $10 off your first payment of a program.
Yes.
And thank you so much. We will see you next week.
Thank you.